Crash Course. John was in a hurry and made no secret of it.
"Can't you slow down a bit?" said Ruth, his wife, anxiously.
"No, I can't. You know I want to get back to watch the test match," replied John.
"Television, that's all you ever think about. You're television mad."
"Now look, Ruth.
I'm working all week and I don't go out drinking and gambling, but yet you seem to begrudge me watching TV. Surely earn that bit of pleasure."
"I don't really begrudge you your telly, but I do wish from time to time you would show more interest in..."
"Oh, look out, John. You just missed that woman. Now slow down a bit. The test match can wait."
"The test match can wait," exclaimed John loudly.
"Oh, sure. I'll get on the phone to Lord's and ask them if they don't mind waiting till we've done our shopping. I can just picture it. Hello, is that Lord's? Can I speak to umpire Charlie Elliott, please?"
"Hello, Charlie, John here. I wonder if you..."
all right," interrupted Ruth. "Cut out the sarcasm. You know exactly what I mean."
"I know what you mean, all right. Every Saturday morning I bring you shopping in the car, saving you the trail on the bus, carrying all the groceries. And because I want to hurry for once, you've got the screaming abdabs."
"I have not got the screaming abdubs," said Ruth through gritted teeth.
"And as for you bringing me shopping, if you taught me to drive, then you could sit by your telly till your backside grew corns."
"Me? Teach you to drive?
You know what my opinion of women drivers is.
Look, did you see her? She cut right past me on my path and she's only..."
"That was your fault," Ruth cut in. "You're not looking where you're going. How can I concentrate when you're nattering away all the time? Once you start, you never know when to stop. Natter, natter, natter." However, John took the hint and slowed down, sulking quietly. "Now, turn down here, John. Down here. Why? We never come this way. There's something I want to look at, so don't argue." After a few minutes, Ruth instructed John to return to their normal route. John exploded.
"Ruth, what are you playing at? You're just trying to make me later than ever. You'll do anything to make me miss the cricket. Any more tricks like that and you can go back on the bus."
"Oh, stop complaining, for heaven's sake. And look where you're going before you run into someone."
"I am looking where I'm going. I do not make a habit of running into people. And I would appreciate it if we could get back in time to watch the midnight movie."
Ruth's patience was wearing thin. "It is only 11 o'clock in the morning. We'll be home by 12. At the most, you're going to miss 30 minutes of your precious cricket. So will you please stop moaning before it develops into something worse?"
"Don't tell me it can get worse," said John with exaggerated disbelief. "What could be worse than shopping while England are playing Australia? And winning to boot?
Do you realise that we are usually back home by this time? But no, not today. Oh, no. You have to spend half the morning on the telephone to your mother. Oh, you knew there was cricket on, all right. I bet you had all this planned with your mother, didn't you?"
"Don't be stupid and leave my mother out of it."
"Permanently. She ought to move to India." "India, why?" Ruth asked cautiously.
"Then she'd be sacred," replied John, beaming at his little joke.
"That's not a nice thing to say."
"Neither is mother-in-law," he quipped. "She ought to be playing for England. She'd soon frighten off the opposition."
"I could just picture it. It's Ruth's mother to bowl now from the nursery end. As she runs in to bowl, a pigeon feeding out at cover point watches the proceedings disinterestedly. Greg Chappell, the batsman, to receive, looks up and prepares for the delivery. Now what's happening? Chappell is running from the pitch screaming. This is a most unusual turn of events." Yes, John Alcott would be in his element. John was proud of his impression, but Ruth soon brought him back to earth.
"You're childish. I don't think you'll ever mature and grow up into a man and do concentrate. Did you see how that man glared at you?"
"I missed him, didn't I?" John retorted. But the damage had been done. He couldn't stand being called childish and now was angry. As they took a right-hand turn, they came to a hold-up and John was forced to stop.
"Oh, just look at this lot here. I bet some stupid woman is the cause of it. We'll go a different way."
And he swung round sharply and went up the next turning. "Oh, John, please, let's stop arguing," Ruth pleaded. I'm sorry about being late and causing you to miss the cricket. Why don't you give me driving lessons so I can come on my own? Then I can take my time and look for all the bargains while you relax at home. Oh, please say yes, John, please. However, John was still smarting from her remarks, and as he took a left-hand turn, he looked across at her. "If I thought that any woman was capable of making a decent driver, I might consider it. As it is, I think that all women drivers should be banned from..." "John, look out!" yelled Ruth. But too late. Too late did John realise that he had taken a corner too wide. There was a scraping of metal followed by a shattering of glass. Slowly, a red pool started to form on the floor. Ruth opened her eyes and moaned. "Oh, John. Oh, you great, stupid, arrogant, male chauvinist pig. You clumsy, great idiot. For the last 20 minutes or so in here, you've done nothing but moan and complain about women drivers, and yet you can't guide a trolley round a supermarket without smashing half a dozen bottles of tomato ketchup. Oh, you...